Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call today. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call is going to be a group coaching session. So let me outline the rules first before we dig in. That way it can give you a chance to think about how you want to participate on the call today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take turns bringing people directly on the line with me. When I call upon you, there's a couple different options you have. You can either ask a question, or you could share a win, or you could share a tip. Or if you want to, you can also pass. So if you kind of are stuck on what to think about, you could pass, and then I'll come back to you on the next round. And then we'll just take turns going through and calling on each person. So you will likely have a couple opportunities as we're on the call to be called on and share. If for whatever reason you don't want me to call on you, then let me know that by posting a message in the Facebook group. Also participate in the Facebook group by posting a message there. So again, if you have a win you want to share, you could post it there. If you have a tip or something else, you could share that as well in the Facebook group. I'll pop out to the Facebook group periodically and share there as well. Now, I sent out an email message yesterday, and I just wanted to talk about that for a moment and bring you up to speed. For some of you who were on the call last week may have heard about this, and I just wanted to pass along the information again. I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be hosting this program again one more time coming up starting next week. This program, the Sales Technology Training Program, includes a series of 12 modules of content. Each week we cover one of the 12 modules. And so we'll be going back through the program one more time, and then I'm going to end the program. You'll still be able to access the audio modules for this program online after the program ends, but the program itself will be ending coming up within a couple months here. So I would encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to join me live on these calls. There's a value of being here with me live. We do a lot of live interaction on the call. Of course, each call includes 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. So that Q&A is an opportunity to get some coaching and mentoring as we're on the call. So if there's something you want to share or something you want to give, you'd like to request feedback on, you can use that as an opportunity. If you want to talk about specific technologies and get some feedback, you can do that as well. So I encourage you to block out the time. Join me on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and participate in this program. It's the same phone number. There's nothing else new that you have to do. It's the same call. Just jump in each week on the call and participate with me as we go through the program. Now, by the way, you can access the audio recordings online. I included the link in the email that I sent out earlier today with the notes for today's call. And you can also access additional resources. There's a series of 4 online videos that are focused on teaching you social media marketing skills. So I encourage you to go back through and watch those videos as well. Now, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And in specific, I talk about different sales technology tools that you can use to be able to generate leads, book appointments, and generate sales online. Now, this today's call, again, is focused on a group coaching session. So in a moment, I'm going to go ahead and call on the people who are on the call today. So I want to acknowledge who's listening in today. Teresa Rippey is here. Alan Murphy is here. Lori Whaley is here. And Roy Rasmussen is here. And I'm going to call on you in that order. And again, if for whatever reason you don't want to be called upon, if you're in an environment where you can't take a call, then you can just post a message out in the Facebook group and let me know that. Otherwise, when your name comes up, then I will bring you directly on the line here. And so let me give you the format again for the call. The format is when I call on you, you can ask a question, you can share a win, you can share a tip, or you can pass. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to first call upon Teresa. So let me unmute your line, Teresa. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Excellent. Welcome to the call today. So what would you like to share today?
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you post a link to PayPal in your emails?
Post a link to PayPal in emails? Good question. Every time that I've worked with PayPal, the only option that I see is to create a button, and the button can be inserted onto a web page. I don't know if they have an option just for a link where people can click a link. So what you'd have to do, you have to go into PayPal and you have to explore the options to create a payment option, and you can see if there are any options in there for that. I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. I have to figure out where it is in PayPal. Hang on, just
so I have gotten links to pay in emails. I've gotten links in email to pay through PayPal.
Was it an invoice that you received, an email invoice?
It was just a regular email with text, and then it says to sign up for this class,
uh-huh,
whatever, click this link.
And it took you directly to a PayPal page?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in PayPal. I went to my profile page. On the profile page, there's an option for selling tools. I clicked on that. And then there's an option for selling online, and it says PayPal buttons. And let me click. You have to click the update button to go into it. And when I go in there, the options that I have are to create a new button. Let's see, reports, manage checkout page styles, and recurring payments dashboard. But I don't see a place just to create a link. Let me see if I go into a specific one, because I have one I've created. It says edit button, view code, create similar button, delete button, or create new button. Let me click on view code. It's giving me, wait a second, there's an option for website and there's an option for email. Here we go. Yes. So when you go to the button page and go to add button code to your web page, it gives you two different options. There's a toggle button there for website, and there's another button right there for email. And so it toggled from HTML code that I can embed onto a web page to an actual link. And let me just, I'm going to hover and click on this link, or copy it, and I'm going to paste it into my browser and see if it takes me directly. Yep, it took me directly to a PayPal order page. So the answer to your question is yes, it can be done, and that is the process you do for it. You have to go to your profile, which in PayPal in the upper right corner there's a little button, it has a little silhouette image. If you click on that, it'll bring it up, and there's an option for profile and settings. So you select that, and for whatever reason it's prompting me to log in again. Hang on a second. Then once you're in there, under My Profile, then you click on My Selling Tools, and then there's a section at the top called Selling Online, and then you want to look for PayPal buttons. And it says Manage My PayPal Buttons. You click on the Update button on the right-hand side, click that, and that takes you to a web page where it has your saved buttons. So first of all, you have to create a button. You have to put in your product name and put in your amount and all that. And then once you've created that, then you go into the option to view code, and then that will take you into a place where you can get a link for email.
Okay.
So if you can follow that step-by-step process, then you're good to go. But there is a way to do that.
Okay. That answered my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, great. So that was Teresa. Next up, I'm going to call upon Alan. And I know sometimes Alan isn't able to take a call directly while he's on. So let me just pop into Facebook and see if he's left me a message there. And I don't see anything from Alan. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him directly on the line. Are you there, Alan?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Very busy, but always
okay.
Like calls and webinars.
Okay, good. Excellent. So would you like to share anything?
Well, just that I'm getting more active in Facebook, and I have a list of things that I want to start doing that I've learned from you.
Excellent. Good. Glad to hear it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're extremely creative when it comes to writing, and you incorporate a lot of humor in your messages, and I like that. So I think you've got a lot of potential in terms of ways that you can leverage social media, and also I think, as I mentioned through Facebook before, I think you've got some definite information you could use to launch a blog at some point.
Yeah. So thanks for your suggestions and your encouragement.
You're welcome. Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Alan. I'll come back around to you in a couple minutes. All right. Next up, I'm going to bring Lori on the line. One moment. Hi, Lori. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Thanks for being here on the call today. What would you like to share?
I would like to share that things are really, shall we say, really moving for my book. I'm going to be interviewed in the Japanese Seattle magazine. And from there, I had an interview, kind of a meeting with the Kinokuniya bookstore that's within Uwajimaya, which is a huge, it's huge up here in the Northwest. They do like over $100 million in business per year.
Wow.
So Kinokuniya is within Uwajimaya's, and they are going to have a book signing for me. And I'll be performing at the Seattle Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival, and they're also going to have my books and doing a book signing, and then another gallery in Seattle. So I'm just excited that things are taking off for my book, having a lot of really good reviews and a lot of good positive feedback.
Excellent. Why don't you tell the folks on the call the title of your book?
Okay. It's called The Courage of a Samurai, and it's 7 sword-sharp principles for success, and I guide the reader through the 7 codes that the samurai live by, and then I show them how they can apply it to their lives through stories and just my experience as a Japanese-American.
Excellent. That's great. Yes. And then what is the status of the book? Is the book currently published, or is it coming out soon?
Well, I'm just about ready to send it off to the typesetter for the first edit of typesetting, and then I've contacted the printer, so hopefully everything will go pretty seamlessly, and by the end of the month, which is very exciting.
Excellent. Good. Very mm-hmm. good.
And I wanted to ask if you were had time to help me with a press release.
Yeah, I responded back. I forget where I got the message. I got it through social media or through email, and I think I responded back and said, yes, I'd be happy to. So let's connect up this week and chat.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
So thank you.
All right.
And I'm going to look forward to, now that everything's hopefully in the process stage, to be able to start going through past recordings about the social media part.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, there's definitely some things that you can do to help create visibility for the book as you're getting it out there.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Great job, Lori. Next up, I want to call on Roy Rasmussen. So let me bring Roy on the line. Are you there, Roy?
Hey, Rick. I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being on the call today.
You're welcome. And I posted a link that has the PayPal tutorial on the question Teresa asked earlier that you answered, and it basically says the same thing that you discovered while you were working
mm-hmm.
through that. It has a link with all
nice.
The steps. So that's
good. Perfect. I like it. Good.
Good. My question is, what prospecting methods using sales technology lend themselves best to prospecting to mobile phone users?
Mobile phone users. Good question. There's a couple concepts here around using mobile phones. One, you just have text messaging one-on-one, and that's where you add your contacts on your phone. You obviously need to set if you have a mobile phone number, then you'd want to distinguish that as a mobile phone. Otherwise, your phone won't recognize that it can send a text message to a phone. And these days, it's kind of tough a lot of times to know whether a phone number is a mobile phone or not. You could always try to set it as mobile phone, see if you can send a text message, if it works, or if not. And so you can just text people directly. Now, with a text message, remember that you're limited to 120 characters, but with today's text messaging services, if you create a longer message, then it will just split that message out, typically over a couple messages, and so they'll still get the content of the message. It just might be broken out into a couple different text messages that come through. So one of the things to keep in mind when you're text messaging people individually is, number one, the time of day. You probably don't want to be text messaging people in the middle of the night or late night or early in the morning. So try to keep your text messaging within certain parameters of the day, maybe, you know, like 8 or 9 a.m. to, say, maybe 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. at the latest. So just keep that in mind, is that you might not be reaching people, or you want to reach people when they're likely to be happy to receive your message. And again, it also depends on what your purpose is if you're prospecting someone through text messaging. If your goal is to, you know, just reach out and say hello, then you can just send a message. You can just let them know that. And oftentimes people respond back. One of the things I did at the end of the year, or actually I guess it would have been the beginning of the year, was I sent out Happy New Year messages to a bunch of people. So what I did was I used that as an opportunity to go in and add in phone numbers for some of the records that I had in my system. I'm using an Android phone, which runs the Google operating system, and so I was linking into my Gmail account, and I realized a lot of the contacts that I have in there don't have phone numbers in them. So I was having to go in and then add the phone number in so it would pull that into my contacts, and so then I could send them a text message. So you kind of have to think about the technology piece of how you're going to reach people and make sure you have those phone numbers tied in. So that's one way. Then you also have more of what's called mobile marketing. There are permission-based mobile marketing services that you can use. You kind of have to dig around online to find one that you like and works for you. I signed up for a service a while back. I haven't really done much with it, but I'm familiar with the process of mobile marketing. And with mobile marketing, what you do is, you have to get people opted into your list. So what you would do is you would give them a code and then a phone number to text a message to. So, and I'll just give you an example of this. Recently, I signed up for the Redbox mobile marketing list. And so I got a message that said, send the code, I forget exactly what it was. You know, let's just say it's opt-in to the number 727272. So it's a six-digit number. I entered that in, I sent the message, and then opted me in to their list. Now my phone number is on their list, and now they can blast out messages to me as well as other people. So just like you can send an email message out to your list, you could send a mobile marketing message out to everybody who has a cell phone. So where this comes in handy, one thing that's nice about this is with mobile marketing, you can do geo-based targeting. Let me break that down for you and explain to you. If you have, say, customers or clients all over the U.S. and you're going to be coming into town and you wanted to announce an event, for instance, then you could actually send a message to people just within a specific area code. So you don't necessarily have to blast every message out to everyone. You would just send a message to everyone in a specific area code. So that's great if you want to do any kind of geo-targeting where you're trying to target a specific geographic region. So there you go. any other questions around that?
Oh, that was pretty good. Yeah, I was looking more at the mobile marketing part of it, and as you're talking, I was also thinking that Twitter would be another part of that.
Twitter. You know, Twitter does give you a capability to reach people through mobile messaging. There is a capability where people can actually subscribe to your Twitter feed and get text messages, but that used to be used in the days before people had a Twitter app on their mobile phone. So most people aren't using that to where they're actually getting text messages directly from Twitter. But I used that like many years ago and got text messages as a feed directly from people. I think one of the things to think about mobile marketing is, number one, you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to be sending people text messages every day to their phones, blasting messages out that can, for one, people can opt out just like they can from email. So if you're overdoing it, then they might feel compelled to opt out that it's an annoyance. And I think you also have to do a mix of content-oriented messages as well as marketing-oriented messages. So think about set up the messages a little bit and have some content. Again, you don't have that much space to deal with. One thing you could do is you could include links out to a web page. So you could have people, you could include a link where people could click and then takes them out to a web page where they can get more details. So you could use it as an opportunity to drive to a video or drive to a blog post, for instance, where they can get content or information. So that's a strategy, as well as having some kind of a limited time offer or something like that you can make available to people. So I would probably follow the 80-20 rule, have 80% be probably content-oriented and 20% being promotional. But you could probably, you know, switch up that mix from time to time. If you're in the midst of a promotion or something, you could probably do a few more promotional messages. But typically, you know, people want to make sure that they are getting, you know, information that has value. And if they feel like they're just getting, you know, spammed, then it's likely that they're going to opt out of the mobile marketing system. And by the way, one other thing with mobile marketing is not only are you paying typically for the service, but you're also paying by the text message. So when you send out a message, I think there is a per unit cost for each message that goes out to a person. So it's kind of a variable increasing amount that you're paying. Some of them have a model where you pay like maybe it's on a points basis or something like that, where you get a certain number of points to send out messages. So you have to kind of do your due diligence and evaluate that. But there are some costs for that. The other thing is there are costs for the actual codes. So if you each code is in essence that you use becomes a separate list that you can market to. And so in addition to kind of doing a geo-based targeting based on area code, you can also have like a specific interest list. So you can have people use a code and then opt in. And you'll often be able to just create a code, like a random code, like you get something like, you know, AG43X as the code, which is not very user-friendly. And if you wanted to create your own custom code that people could use, like I could use something like, you know, social media or something like that, then you have to pay to have that extra code created, and that's a monthly fee that you pay on an ongoing basis for that. So there are some costs associated with mobile marketing, so you have to figure out that and take that into account as well as you're exploring that.
Okay, good. Good answer.
All right. Good. Excellent. Thanks, Roy. All right, next up I'm going to bring Tom onto the line. Tom, are you there? Oh, hang on. Let me try again. Tom, are you there?
No, I'm here, yeah.
Okay, good. I can hear you now. Perfect.
Okay.
What would you like to share today?
Well, a couple of things. One is I have a long list of things to do after our conversation earlier. But then mm-hmm. secondly, in Twitter, there's some apps that relate to Twitter that try to verify the tweeter or the sender to cut down on spam. What do you know about those?
Yeah, so like if you follow somebody, then oftentimes there'll be a direct message that comes in that says we use such and such to verify your account before, like they'll follow back or something like that. So
yeah,
I don't recommend using that for one because it creates a block for people following you. And, you know, and most of the time I just ignore those. So if I get that message, then oftentimes I'll just click through their page and stop following them just because I don't want to go through the process of doing that. So I don't necessarily recommend that. I think if you find that you're getting a lot of spam-type people, you can block them on Twitter. You can go to their profile, and there's an option where you can click and block them so that they can no longer – like if oftentimes the way you'll get spam is you'll get say either direct messages from them, like a private message, or you'll get a public mention where they post on their page and they'll include your name in it and say like, you know, go get, you know, download this free such and such. And basically they're just posting one message after another on their Twitter page and then linking out to a different person each time. So that's kind of a spammy technique. I don't recommend that. And so if you have somebody where you keep getting messages from the same person over and over, you can just go in and block them directly so that that's not an issue.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. All right. Let me take a moment and pop out to the Facebook page. And by the way, this would probably be a great time to post a comment goal out on the page. So because this is a group coaching call and not just a content call, I'll keep the goal kind of low for today. So let's shoot for let's just call it 20 comments to start with. And I think we're already up to 8 comments right now. So let me see if there's a couple messages on here that I haven't read yet. A couple messages from Roy about getting onto the call. He said, ask a question, share a win, or share a tip. He also posted the link, as he mentioned earlier, on how to create the email link for to purchase through PayPal. I might have to experiment with that technique. I like trying out new techniques, so that might be kind of cool. And Alan said, The Courage of a Samurai book with business lessons coming soon. Awesome. That's referring to Laurie Whaley's book. Alan says, how to prospect to mobile phone users, send individual text, be mindful of the time of day, maybe 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., reach out and just say hello. Yeah, absolutely. And just like any kind of marketing or prospecting through technology, it's a good idea to set up some type of a system to double back around to people. So make a list of people and, you know, set a goal. Like maybe every 30 days you want to send them a text message and then just work through your list. So let's say that you have 30 people. So then that's like one a day. Each per day, pull up a person, send out a text message to them, and then just do that consistently over time. And that's not to say that you have to just do, you know, one a day. You know, maybe you do, your goal is just to do 7 a week. So if you could do that on a Tuesday or Wednesday and just get it done for the week, then you're done. But the important thing is that you are reaching out to people on a regular basis and making contact. And there might be other specific strategies that you might use with text messaging. For instance, you might reach out and say, hey, I just wanted to touch base and see if you wanted to connect up and chat in the next week. Let me know. And again, you know, with text messages, you want to try to keep it under 120 minutes if at all possible. And so if your goal is to schedule an appointment, then drive toward that. You can also use it as a way to acknowledge people. You could acknowledge them with a happy birthday message. If you see a success that they had on Facebook, you could send them a text message and acknowledge them that way. So think about ways just to, you know, really it's a way to create top of mind awareness, kind of get in front of people. And oftentimes if you're in front of people and adding value and building a relationship, then people are going to want to reach out and touch base with you. It's also a great way to then just simply pick up the phone and call people. So if you text somebody with something that adds value and then you call them within the next day or two, then you're already top of mind. So that's another technique that you can use. And Alan says, work through your list regularly over time for text messages. Very good. All right, well, we're going to rotate back around through our list. So, and in fact, I also see that someone else joined us on the call here in the 623 area code, and so I'm not sure who that is. I'll have to look up on my list so I can figure that out, but I will call on you in a few minutes here as I'm trying to figure out who that is. And so if you want to save me the trouble, you can go out and post in the Facebook group and let me know who's on the call in the 623 area code. So what we're going to do is start back around with Teresa. So let me bring Teresa back on the line. Teresa, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, very good. And feel free to, or what would you like to share this time around?
Just a tip, a health tip.
Okay.
That fat is an important part of a healthy diet. It helps digest your food and increases nutrient absorption. The best oils to use for cooking, frying, baking, and all your food preparation are coconut oil and extra virgin olive oil. Butter is also another good choice.
Good. Excellent.
That's it.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
All right. Let me mute Teresa's line back out, and we're going to go back around to Alan. Are you there, Alan? Alan might be away from the phone at the moment. Let me go ahead and mute Alan back. So I'm going to continue on, and I will call on Lori, and then Roy, and then Tom, and then the person who's in the 823 area code. All right, hang on a second here. Lori, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, what would you like to share this time around?
This time around, I'd like to share about how I've
just not been so, asking for testimonies is a good example, is just ask and don't hesitate. One person mm-hmm. told me, he said that that's one thing that authors and people do, is they hesitate when they ask for testimonies or something like that. But he said that most people are really happy to do that. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. well, I'll do that. And I shouldn't be, but sometimes you get intimidated. He's retired lieutenant colonel. He was part of JAG, and he's an attorney and does these really high-profile things. But, you know, people are people. And he was happy to help me. So, yes.
Nice. Good.
Yes.
I'm glad
mm-hmm.
to hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great tip for everybody. If you're not already doing it in your business, make it a practice to ask for testimonials. And, you know, a great time to ask for a testimonial is if you've, sold a product, provided a service, done something to add value to them. That's a great time. But on something like an information product, you could ask them to review it and ask for a testimonial. So that's a great technique as well. So good job.
Yes, and one more thing I wanted to add is he said that,
mm-hmm.
he says, I could write something nice, warm, and fuzzy, but he says, what the main thing you want to do is you want people to, you want it to sell. And he said, you want people to pick it up and decide to buy it. And he said, that's what we're going for.
Nice.
Yes.
Good.
It was very
nice. Excellent. Glad to hear it. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Okay, next up, hang on a second here. Oh, and I figured out who's in the 623 area code. It is Eileen. So welcome to the call, Eileen. I'll call on you in a couple minutes. Next up is Roy. Are you there, Roy?
Hey again, Rick.
Hello. What would you like
Hi.
To share this time around?
My question this time around is about appointment setting and mm-hmm. about a sales model where you're selling a consultation service and
mm-hmm.
you are running appointments, consultation appointments, and it could be, the initial free consultation that we're dealing with here, or it could be after they have signed up already and you're running an appointment that is one of the ones that they've paid for. What are some of the things that you need to bear in mind for using technology to support the consultation calls? I'm thinking especially of email, but if you can mention what other technology can be used to support appointment setting, either stuff that you would be doing before or after the appointment or during the appointment.
So before, during, or after an appointment, what technologies to use?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good question. So hang on just a second here.
So just to give a concrete example, something I typically do would be emailing someone to remind them of an appointment that I have coming up with them. Then I'm running the appointment over the phone usually, and then I might follow
mm-hmm.
up with another email sending them notes or something. What are some other things that I could be doing there?
Okay, good question. So first of all, for everybody who's listening in today, I would encourage you to join us for the 12-week program again starting next week. And in particular, modules number 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all focused around appointment setting. So module 5 covers appointment scheduling tools and CRM systems for follow-up. Module number 6 covers opt-in forms to generate appointment leads. Module 7 covers appointment setting emails, and then Module 8 covers social media techniques to book appointments. So we'll probably be getting into those modules, I guess it'll be in about a month, so it'll probably be in March. So, but you can also go back and listen to the recordings of those calls if any of you have an urgent need to learn some techniques around appointment setting. So that said, before an appointment, I think certainly it gets into, you can use technology to actually schedule appointments. So I use a technique periodically where I send out an email message and I encourage people to contact me to schedule an appointment. Sometimes I will just ask them to email me back. In other cases, I will ask them to, or I will offer a link to through TimeTrade where they can click and then schedule an appointment on my system. And I think the last time I sent out an appointment setting email, I had maybe 10 people book appointments directly on my calendar. And it was kind of nice because all of a sudden these appointments just started showing up on my calendar. And that's kind of nice because it just saves you time. Because in the past, you know, you'd have to pick up the phone and call people, or you might have to play email tag or something else to try to get them to schedule a time with you. And so I think is one of the best benefits of technology is just getting the appointment set. Then you could certainly use email as a way to follow up with people. I typically try to send a reminder email to people either the day before or the day of an appointment to remind them that we have a call. I also use social media for this, especially if it's a last-minute follow-up, then I will reach out through Facebook, send a private message, and remind them of our call coming up. Because sometimes people forget. You can't expect when you book an appointment that somebody's going to put it on their calendar. Most people will do that, but some people will forget. So social media can be a great way to follow up. Then you might also want to think about, is there anything that you want them to do in advance of the appointment? For example, you could send a link to an online survey and use that as a way to gather information in preparation for the call. I've done that in some cases where I schedule the appointment and then I say, prior to our call, could please take a few minutes to click on the link below and then answer a few brief questions and include the link. And that gives you an opportunity to gather some information or details before the appointment. Then a technology you can use during an appointment is you could use a go-to meeting type tool where you have an online meeting. So in addition to talking to somebody over the phone, you could actually have a short web presentation. This is a strategy that I use when working with some potential clients, is that I will have a series of PowerPoint slides that I'll go through and share details about one of the programs that I'm offering. So that could be a great technique while you're on an appointment. And GoToMeeting is less expensive than, say, GoToWebinar, which is used to run webinars. And you can use GoToMeeting to host a webinar. It just doesn't have the registration ability where it will actually send out reminder messages and tell you everybody who's registered. You just basically send out a link to the person you want to join in the meeting. They click on the link, and then it will take them into GoToMeeting, and so they can view your screen. But I don't think it'll show you the name of the person that's on there. So that's one advantage that GoToWebinar has. Now, after an appointment, a couple thoughts are you could actually use videos as a way to follow up. So you could follow up with somebody. Certainly you could also use an autoresponder series. You could have a series of messages that go out over time, and then you could include links to go out and watch videos or go out and read blog posts. So after an appointment, even if someone doesn't sign up for a service or enroll in a program, you could continue to do follow-ups with them because at that point they're qualified and they've also had an opportunity to benefit from your presentation and learn what it is that you're offering. And so now you could use a systematic way through technology to follow up over time and then convert from a prospect into a buyer. So think about technology not on the front end, not only on the front end, but also on the back end as well. So those are a few techniques that you can use before, during, and after appointments.
Okay, can I ask a follow-up on part of that?
Sure.
Okay. When would you want to use a webinar for an appointment versus just doing it on the phone? What situation might that be advantageous in?
To do a webinar on the phone, like a web presentation?
Oh, I meant go to webinar, go to meeting, that type of thing, like you were talking about a second ago.
Yeah. First of all, anytime you have something visual or where you're explaining a lot of information, then that could be beneficial, or if you're dealing with a visual type person. Like typically the place that I use it is when I'm talking to clients about building a website for them. I will do a meeting with them because then I can actually take them out to the web and I can show them examples of websites. And if they have a specific question, I can bring up a specific website that I built and I can comment on that as well.
Mm-hmm. I can think of a few times that would have been handy for me for tech support too. Good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, sometimes people just have questions. They want to know how something works, and you can bring it up and show them. Like the example of the PayPal question earlier, if I were on the phone with Teresa and she had asked me that, it would have been a lot faster for me just to log into PayPal and bring it up and show her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good example.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah,
thank you. Very thorough answer.
You're welcome. Okay, hang on just a second. Let me mute Roy's line out. Okay, so next up I'm going to bring up Tom here in just a moment, and then I'm going to bring, it looks like Eileen's no longer on the call. I just added her to the Facebook group. Hang on just a second. I'm just going to post a quick message here. All right, so let me bring Tom directly on the line. Oh, Eileen is back. Hi, Eileen. You just came back on the line, so I will call on you in just a moment here. Hello, Tom. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't have any other questions right now, so I think I'll pass.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. So next up, I'm going to bring Eileen on. Hello, Eileen.
Okay, I've got a problem. I have my 9-month-old grandbaby in my arms, and she clicked the phone off on me, so I'm just listening in as best as I can.
Okay.
So,
I
yeah,
understand.
That's what happened to me.
Okay, no problem, no problem. So
okay.
I'll come back around and call on you again. If you have something to share at that point, then you can do that.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. All right, always a challenge on a live call, but glad that she's taking care of the baby. And so we're going to rotate back around, and I'll call on Teresa here in a moment. And let me go ahead and refresh the web page here and look to see if we have any new comments out on the page. Alan's been going crazy adding comments, so let me read through some of the comments here. Let's see. Alan says, when you add value, people will want to connect with you. Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the primary strategies that I use is just to keep adding value over time. In fact, you know, one thing I'll share with you here, this is not really related to our topic today, but I like to share insights into my own strategies and things that I'm doing. And one of the things I've been doing the last 2 weeks is I'm actually pulling back a little bit from communicating on Facebook over the weekends. And I've just kind of felt like I'm out there so much and I'm communicating so much through so many different channels that it's just a lot to be out there all the time and communicating with people. And I think there's a time when you can be overexposed in communicating too much. And then the other thing is, you know, in order to be able to accomplish my goals and do all the things that I want to do, I need to have focus blocks of time where I can just work on things. And, you know, oftentimes I have spare moments that I'll jump onto Facebook or Twitter or do this and that. And I've been trying to use a lot more of those spare moments to work on either creating content or working on strategies or doing other things. So now what's interesting is most people will probably not even notice that I'm not as active on social media on the weekends because they will still see my posts in their newsfeed. I have enough engagement on Facebook that even if I don't post for 2 days, people will still see my posts in their newsfeed. So they won't necessarily know that I am not posting new things. They'll just see things popping up in their newsfeed with my name on it. So it's kind of interesting. One of my fears in doing that was that I would actually lose a lot of momentum. It's my belief that if you are posting, or if you want to create more engagement on social media, then you need to be posting every day, multiple times per day. And so that's a strategy that's been part of my core strategy on Facebook, is to do that consistently over time. And you know, it can be a little bit like chasing your tail at times. It's like, hey, I'm running around and around in circles, you know, responding to comments on one post after another, liking here, liking there. And I've just decided that I'm going to limit that activity to Monday through Friday. And on the weekends, I may still pop out occasionally and interact on existing posts, but I won't be posting new content typically on weekends. So I'm experimenting with this. I'm trying it out. One of the things I'm noticing is that I have lower engagement on Mondays now because I don't have new posts going out over the weekend, but my engagement starts to build back up over the week. But that's okay. And it's not such a big deal for me because I don't post a lot of promotions or things like that on my personal Facebook page. And by the way, I still have content scheduled to post on my business pages, on my Facebook business page over the weekend. It's just my personal page where I'm kind of pulling back from the interactions. So I think, you know, it's something I'm going to try out and see how it works. And I don't think I'm going to suffer any negative benefits or negative consequences from that. But I wanted to pass that along and share it just so you have an idea of some of the ways that I'm implementing strategies in my business. So you can kind of watch for that and pay attention to see how that is implemented over time. So we'll see how that goes. Alan says, ask for testimonials or testimonies from people. Use them to promote yourself, your product, and your service. Yeah, absolutely. Ask for testimonials and then make use of them. Post them on your website. In fact, one of the things I've been seeing Eric Laughlin do more recently is ask people for LinkedIn recommendations. In fact, and I've actually been thinking about doing that myself, so maybe what I will do is I will send out an email message to all the folks in the sales technology training program and ask them to provide a testimonial, or actually it's called a recommendation, on LinkedIn. So watch for an email. I'll include a link out to my LinkedIn profile page and ask you for a recommendation there. And what I typically recommend is to write up something maybe about 2 to 3 paragraphs. You know, it can be fairly brief, but just share some details about how you benefited from working with me. Alan says, technology to use for appointment setting. He says, modules 5 through 8 are all about using technology for appointment setting, available on the website, and Rick will be doing the training series again soon. Right, so next week we go back through, start back on module 1, and we'll go back through all the 12 modules. So modules 5 through 8 will probably come up probably mid-March and then go into Alan says, email to follow up and also Facebook private messaging. Yes, so again, talking about the appointment setting strategies, you can send out an email in advance to remind somebody of an appointment. It's a good idea once you schedule an appointment to follow up with them and remind them of it, because the risk is when you call them on the day of the appointment and you get a voicemail and they're not available. They've got something else going on. So let them know in advance. You don't necessarily have to say, hey, if you're not able to do the appointment, let's reschedule. But that's kind of implied. If they get a message and they go, oh, shoot, I've already got another commitment or my plan has changed, then I would assume that they would follow up and let you know that. Alan says, think about anything you might want someone to do before an appointment, like take a survey. Yeah, absolutely. It can help save some time in the appointment if you can gather some information in advance of the appointment. It can also be used as a great technique to qualify people and learn more about their needs. So think about what questions that you can ask them in advance. It doesn't have to be a particularly long survey. Maybe it's a 3-question survey, something quick they can fill out. Alan says, GoToMeeting is a less expensive way to do webinars as part of an appointment. Yes, it still gives you the webinar capability. It just doesn't have the registration. So you can just start a meeting like right now, and then you could give somebody a link. You could, Facebook message them and say, here's the link, and they click, and then they can join you directly in the GoToMeeting, and then you can share your screen and talk to them through GoToMeeting as well. Alan says, after the appointment, you can use an autoresponder series in videos. Yes, absolutely. Think about creating a sequential autoresponder series to follow up with someone after an appointment that could be used to direct them back out to sign up. And I haven't done enough of that in my business. I want to do more of that, where I'm creating more of a series that follows up after an appointment with people or after people attend a webinar series or something like that. It just takes time to write copy. You've got to sit down and write the individual messages and set them up. And if you're going to create videos and blog posts to go along with it, then you have to create those as well. Lori said, thank you for repeating the course. I will be able to concentrate more this time. Awesome. Absolutely. So glad to have you back aboard, Lori, and go through the program. All right. Let's see. I forgot where I was in the mix. I think I had my notes here. I think I had talked to Roy last. I talked to Tom and then Eileen, and then I think we're coming back around to Teresa again. Okay, good. All right, so we're going to start back with Teresa. Are you there, Teresa?
Yes, I am. Yes, I
all
have
right.
A question.
Sure.
Covered in the Facebook marketing class about images. I really was dying to ask this question, but didn't get a chance. And that question is, how do you add my URL to my website to images? And what tools do you use Canva to do that, or how do you do that?
So you're creating an image that you want to post out on social media, and you want to add your website address to the image.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, perfect. So there are a lot of different tools to create images. A simple tool that you can use if you have it is Microsoft PowerPoint. PowerPoint can not only be used to create presentations, but you can also create simple images as well. Doesn't necessarily have the highest resolution quality, but you can do a quick and dirty image with PowerPoint. You could also use Microsoft Paint to create a really simple image as well. There are also online tools that are available. One of the tools that I use, actually the tool that I use to create the images that I use in the Facebook group here, like today there's a black image. It has white text on a black background. It's called Quozio. It's Quozio, Quozio.com. And that's a free service that you can use where you can create an image. You don't have that many options with it. You can't choose a particular font style. You have about like 30 different image templates where it has a specific style of background image, and it has a specific font that is used. So you can type in information, and so obviously you would just be able to type in a website address at the bottom of that or wherever you want on the page. You can't do anything fancy like tilt it or, you know, change the size of anything. Everything is going to be of equal size as far as text on the image. And then you can't insert pictures in there either. There are some of the templates do have images. Others are just kind of like a plain type background. But that's one that you can use as well. So
can
there are also
you insert your URL onto the Quozio images.
You want the URL for that?
Can
let me
I
add
insert
it into
my website URL onto the Quozio.
Oh. Yeah, you just type it directly in. It just, when you go to Quozio.com, it has a place where you can type in your text, and you would just put allnaturallynutritious.com at the bottom of it.
Oh, okay.
And then it will appear on the image.
Okay, so is it possible to download an image from a free image source online, a website, download the image, and then put my website URL on it? Or is that not done?
You mean like find an image online and then create an image with your website address on it?
Yeah.
So that might be one where you use Microsoft PowerPoint. You can insert a picture into PowerPoint, and then you could just add text over the image. So that would be an example. You could hire a graphic designer who could use Adobe Illustrator or Adobe Photoshop. But there are also other little apps that you can use. I do create a lot of images on my phone. There's an app that I use for the Android called Fonto, Phonto. You can just go into the Play Store and then search for Fonto. It's a simple app. I can add an image to the import a picture in, and then I can layer text over it. I can put text in different font styles and different sizes. So I can have like a quote. I could have the name of the person that I'm quoting in a larger font in a different color, and then I could put my website address or my Twitter ID at the bottom of it. So a lot of the images that I create on my mobile phone using Fonto.
Hmm. Okay, I don't have a mobile phone, so that would be capable of downloading an app like Fonto. So
okay.
It would be,
so you probably have to search for online tools. Another great resource would be Susan Schlieff. I think Susan has some different software tools tools for creating images. So you could send her a private message. She's part of the sales technology group. Let me see here. Let's see if she's in the member list. Let's see. Yes, she is. She's in the she's in part of the Facebook group. So you can click on the member page, and then you can send her a message and then ask her for resources on creating images.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Next up, I'm going to be calling on Alan again. So hang on one moment. Alan, are you there? Okay, it looks like Alan's not available, so let me go ahead and skip and go on to, so I'm going to call on Lori, and then Roy, and then Tom, and then Eileen, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the call at that point. So we're going to go, we're going into the lightning round now, so we're going to try to be as brief as possible here. So Lori, are you there?
Could you just send me your timeshare or time trade, whatever you call it, so I could get on your schedule?
Sure, but I think the next available appointment is probably not till next week. So we may have to, if we want to chat today or use chat this week, then I may just have to give you a call or arrange something separately. So
okay,
I,
do you like the sometime next week, like the first part?
Yeah, that could be. So
okay.
Maybe we can private message through Facebook and contact that way, and then pick a time.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lori. Next up is Roy. Are you there, Roy? Mr. Rasmussen, are you on the line?
Yeah. It was saying something as you're unmuting, so I wasn't sure if you said my name.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. I think I'll pass here. We're at the top of the hour, so.
Okay. All right. No problem. Thanks, Roy. Next up, Tom, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Tom. What would you like to share?
Yeah. Of the four social media systems, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, which one do you believe is the best to use for developing business?
Well, I think, first of all, it depends on your audience. If you're targeting business owners, then LinkedIn is probably the best. If you're targeting women, then Pinterest might be an interesting option. If you're targeting consumers, Facebook's pretty good. If you're targeting POIs or want to create leverage through POIs, Twitter can be a good one because it allows you to tap into everyone from celebrities to, you know, top speakers to other types of people or politicians or whoever. So it just depends on what you're trying to do. I found that Facebook typically has the best engagement. In fact, I just read a story recently saying that people spend an average of 15 minutes per month on LinkedIn, and they spend an average of 10 to 20 hours on Facebook. So as far as eyeballs, there's probably more people that you can connect to and have a conversation with directly through Facebook than on LinkedIn.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, and then I'm going to come back around to Eileen again. So I'll bring you back on, Eileen. If you're not able to talk, that's okay. Are you there?
Okay, I'm on. You can hear me.
Okay.
I'm working on a blog, and I need to really need to get that going and get I'm going to check out this Fiverr to help write information, because I'm not a writer, but I have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm going to, you know, reach out to that and then reach out more with Facebook, finding the right contacts and trying to build my list. That's basically where
okay.
I'm at right now.
Got it. Okay, very good. So working on content creation for the blog, and then finding contacts through Facebook, and then building your list. What are you using for email marketing?
I need help with that.
Okay,
I have,
email marketing net. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, what I really do need help with that, because I've got I'm working on a landing page. I have a landing page going out with a Facebook ad as we speak, and I have an email campaign attached to that. But I hired somebody to do that, so I really don't. I don't have an email list, and that's what I really would like to figure out how to build an email list. My email list is just from leads that I've had in the past. I have thousands of leads, but I don't know how to put them into an email marketing system.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the time I have here, what I can say is, let's see, in terms of the blog, focus on what kind of topics are going to attract in the right people, what content is going to be good for you to share out on social media, for instance, or send out emails as you build your list to people to add value. And also, what topic do you want to position yourself as an expert on? That can be great in helping you determine, the types of blog content that you want to create. In terms of using Facebook to find contacts, a great technique that you can use is to use friend lists. You can create lists of people on Facebook, and you can actually selectively contact people or post a message on your personal page and limit it to a specific list. You can also use it for event marketing. So if you were going to do, say, a teleseminar or a webinar, you could go in and you could select everyone on a list, and then you could invite them to that event. So lists can be very helpful. And you can also,
How do you invite everybody other than just putting it, you just put it on your Facebook page?
Well, first of all, you go in to Facebook and you create an event. You could either create the event through the homepage of Facebook, which will link the event to your personal page, or what I do is I create the event under my business page, so then it drives traffic back to my business page. And then once the event is created, then I will go in, and there's a button to click and invite friends, and then it brings up a little dialog box, and then there's an option there where you can select a list. And say if I select a list that has 100 people on it, there's a button that says select all. I can click that, and then I click send, and then it will send an invitation out individually to each person that I just selected, and it will invite them to my event.
Okay.
And I do that strategy every single week. I mean, it's I do free. I think this month I have two free events scheduled at the moment, but I do this on a regular basis where I host events, and then I use that to invite people. And I will oftentimes have people register for an event that just found about it through social media, through Facebook.
Okay. So I'm going to be a guest speaker. I'm going to be a guest speaker on one of my distributors' calls on Monday the 23rd, so I can do that and just invite people to listen in and just say, it's going to be a motivational topic. Okay.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You just need you need a way for people to register or let you know that they're interested, or you could just, if it's a phone number, you could just post the phone number directly so they can call in. But if you have like an intermediate step where they register, then you can know who's interested, who actually registered for it. So even if you don't have a registration process on your website, there are tools that you can use like Eventbrite, where you can go out and set up a free account with Eventbrite, and then you could create a page where you describe what's going to happen on the call, and then people fill out the form and they can register for the event.
Okay, perfect.
All right,
great.
Very good.
Great.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, in wrapping up our call today, I want to remind you that next week we'll be starting back over with Module 1. And so that topic is going to be on social media prospecting. So that kind of ties directly within with what we were talking about earlier. So we can expand upon social media prospecting as we get into next week's call. Then we'll cover opt-in pages the following week, then email database and autoresponders, and then sales technology integration, and then on from there. So join us back, same phone number, same code. Make sure you call in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Add it to your calendar now. And also, when you come to these calls, think about what can you take that you learned on today's call and implement it. And so even though today wasn't a content call specifically, you probably did hear a lot of ideas that might spark your imagination and that you might be able to take an idea that you were inspired by and implement it in your business. So think about what you can do coming out of this call to get into action to leverage a technology tool to grow your business. So thanks for joining me on the call today. Have a great week, and God bless.